Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our church. Mothers, I hope you've had a great morning so far. To add to your morning, we have over there in our cafe area a table just for moms. And moms, if you want, during this first song, you're more than welcome to step out, go get yourself some brownies or chocolate-covered strawberries, whatever. See, someone's getting ready to go right now. Yeah, putting her Bible down and going. And never mind the booth right next to it that's checking the blood sugar and stuff. Just never mind that and go ahead. Man, on that side of the table, there is a thing to check your blood sugar. So if you want to check that today, go ahead. And but anyways, we are glad you're here. We would like for you to stand up and worship with us this morning. This next song for some of you is an old song. For some of you, this is going to be a new song, but just sing it out loud with us.
I
We're going to sing that again. Open up the doors and let the music play. And what they're talking about is, you know, this picture up in heaven. Just the throne room of God, people singing. And open up the doors of heaven so we could all hear. But let's take it to this. This morning, let's just open up our voices. Lift our voices. Let our praises ring to the King of Kings, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who sacrificed his love for us so we can praise him. He deserves our glory and he deserves our praise. Let's just sing that again. Ask you to turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, say welcome this morning, and you could be seated.
Morning. Good morning. Thank you, Hannah. I saw a stupid joke on the internet. Anybody want to hear it? All right, so everybody seen The Lion King? Have you heard of The Lion King? Simba's walking in the desert one day, right? And his dad's following along, but he's going slow. He says, "Dad, you gotta move faster." You get it? And his dad's name's Mufasa, and it's kind of like move. Anyway. All right, no youth group tonight. We're doing the announcements right now. No youth group tonight. We want everybody, all the kids at home with the families, enjoying their time together. Let's see here as we go along. The Nicaragua missions team, next week, after the second service, we're going to have a salad bar / baked potato bar. I don't know about you guys. My imagination of a salad bar and potato bar wasn't very inviting, but I went to one time and actually found out there was meat there. That's good. You can have a really good baked potato or a salad. Anyway, welcome you to do that. The money that's going to go, it's a donation-only kind of a thing. Money's going to go towards paying for medical supplies, doctors, that kind of stuff for the Nicaragua missions trip. Summer is here. The winter life group session is winding down. There's a couple that are going to continue on, but we're kind of like in a break before the next session opens up. So we're looking for volunteers. If anybody's interested in doing some kind of a short life group session over the summer, just let us know. Mike, Todd Davis, myself, anyway, just let us know if you want to do that. That'd be cool. Water Missions International, we've collected $2,800 so far for them, so that's pretty cool. That's a lot of clean water for people that don't have it. And now we are starting today our baby bottle campaign. This is for the Tri-Area Pregnancy Resource Center. I said that wrong earlier. Anyway, we set up baby bottles. Mike is back there. I've got mine in my pocket. I've always got one. It's good whenever this time of year comes around so that we can collect money. Anyway, if you don't think change can add up to much, it really can. If you look at that on your announcements, that $2,800 for Water Missions International, almost $600 of it was quarters and nickels and dimes and stuff. So that's pretty cool. It can add up. You set it on your counter, it'll definitely stand out. You know, if you walk into a store and you see a baby bottle sitting, you'll be like, "Whoa." Anyway, it's a good cause. Let's see here, Uprising, Night of Worship. Has anybody seen or heard of Uprising yet? Show of hands. 4 people. All right, so this is really actually really exciting. It's going to be an entire night of worship. We're probably hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. There's going to be 20-ish songs that we'll do. There's going to be 3 different worship teams. 3 different worship teams that are going to come together. We got Out of the Box Ministries out of Hillsville is coming, their worship team. We got Cornerstone's worship team, and then we're going to do a combined group worship set with Cornerstone, Out of the Box, and Christ Chapel all together. It's going to be at the Rex Theater, May 25th. It's going to be free, and it's going to be cool. I went to a pastor's conference, it was probably 3 years ago now, where I was there with 14,000 pastors and administrators and elders. I mean, it was like a church conference kind of a thing. And we sang a Revelation song. I don't know if you guys have ever heard it. We sang Revelation song, and it was just the pastors. They shut off all the music, and they just had the people singing together. I couldn't even open my mouth. I was just in tears with the power of the moment of all of God's people, you know, worshiping honestly and open together. It was really cool. Anyway, we're hoping we get a little glimpse of that. We're not expecting 14,000, but we're hoping more than four show up. So anyway, we look forward to that. We'll be announcing it more. We're trying to get other churches in the area to announce it. Well, we really want this to be a community kind of a thing. Anyway, we're going to continue in worship. Thanks, you guys. All right.
Appreciate it. Hey, today's Mother's Day. And, you know, my mom, she's in California. That's where I'm from. Lived here 8 years and decided to move back here. Love it out here. But I'm a product because my mom cared enough to get me to church. A church, local church came knocking on the door. They had a bus ministry and rode the bus. I got involved in youth group, and it just shows a mom's love that she wants her kids to follow Christ. And that's so important. And this morning, as we get ready to enter back into worship, let's just sing glory to the King. But there's one thing I got to mention. It's this morning we are blessed as a worship team, and blessed we have a great worship director, great leader, Chris Porter, who just believes in our youth are important. And today, well, they're not youth anymore, but they're young adults, college. We have Luke Sawyer back from Liberty. We have Abigail Cox back from Liberty. And then we have Luke Morris all the way from downstairs in Galax with us. And we actually feature Luke Morris on this next song. But it just shows that God's given people talent. And they want to express their talent to God. And it's just an awesome form of worship. You know, we think of worship just singing. It's all aspects. It's reading the word. It's prayer. And it's using our gifts for God. This morning, let's just lift our voices to Him, and let's just praise His name. Go ahead and stand with us.
I feel loved. I feel safe. I feel Jesus. In this place, I feel a warmth within me. I can't describe it, but I believe. I feel peace. I feel light. I see my stains turn pure white. I feel a burden lift from me as I raise my hands up and I sing. Describe it. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a warmth within me. I can't describe it, but I believe. Glory, glory, glory to the King. Glory, glory, glory to the King. Glory, glory.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon and
someone here that needs to, has questions about that hope. May they seek an elder out, pastor out, dear God. Someone here on the worship team. So we can tell them about that hope and that promise. Lord, we thank you for that song, promises in that song. We love you. And we pray. And maybe.
Thank you. good morning to Cornerstone on this special Sunday. I'm so glad you're able to be with us this morning. I know, just want to wish all the mothers here happy Mother's Day. I know this morning you have been pampered from the time you woke up, that you didn't have to fix breakfast, you didn't have to get the kids ready, that your husbands had everything taken care of, that you have just been able to completely relax this morning. Just like, isn't that right? Maybe not. Okay. Well, we want to honor you this morning. So many times I feel like mothers are underappreciated, and we want to take some time to do that here in a few minutes. First, we want to start by doing a baby dedication this morning. And let me take you to Scripture this morning. Mark chapter 10. I want to read to you out of the Message paraphrase this passage. It's a powerful passage about children. And in Mark chapter 10, it says, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate, and he let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life and the kingdom. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom and the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. From time to time here at Cornerstone, we get a chance to do a baby dedication service or a child dedication service. And I think this passage gives us some reasons why we take the time to do this. The first reason that we do this is because baby dedications show that children are a blessing. Children are indeed a blessing. It's important to know this because the disciples did not realize this. In fact, they didn't think so. And they discouraged people from bringing their children to Jesus. Jesus was busy. There were crowds gathered around. There were things to be done, people to be healed. They had ministry. They had all this stuff. And children just got in the way. So the disciples were like, "Get them away. We've got stuff to do." And we see Jesus. We see him. We see that Jesus says, "Wait a minute, there's nothing more important than these children." Jesus was upset with his disciples. He was not afraid to let them know about it. "Don't push these children away. Don't get between them and me." And he knew that children were such a gift. I love what Psalm 127 verse 3 says, that children are a gift. They're a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from him. And I'm so thankful to be part of a church that realizes that children are a blessing and not a nuisance. It's good to look around and see children running around and to see a nursery full of babies and to see a great children's ministry downstairs. And yes, it may be chaotic. Yes, it's a little messy. Yes, it gets a lot noisy sometimes. But they are a blessing, aren't they? It's life. We see how important children were to Jesus, and they're important to us as well at Cornerstone. The second reason that we do baby dedications is because baby dedications, they really have a message to tell us. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. And we just read, mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom and the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. So this isn't an obscure or a minor message. This is important. This is central to life in the kingdom. It's so simple that even a child can understand it, that a child can demonstrate for us what it means to have faith, to trust. And Jesus is not telling us here that baby dedications impart some type of grace or that they save the child. No, but children have a message to show us. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but we see children have the ability to trust, to follow. They have faith. And we see that, and we can take a lesson from that. The third reason that we do baby dedications is because baby dedications remind us that our children are most blessed when they are in the arms of God. As parents, we all want what's best for our children. We all have great hopes for them. And what is the very best for our children? What's the greatest hope that we can have? I think this passage tells us the answer. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. Just hoping that they would get close to Jesus, that he might touch their life. And I want nothing more for my kids than to Jesus to just touch their life. For them to grow, just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor among God and men. I want my children to do the same. And I think you as parents would want the same thing. You want your children to experience Christ, to put their faith and trust in Christ, to grow spiritually, to go physically. And so baby dedication, what it is, it's open to parents who can truthfully say, I will commit myself to raising this child to know the Lord Jesus Christ by loving and disciplining and training and setting a positive Christ-like example. And what it is, it's an opportunity to thank God for the precious gift that you have. It's really more of a service. It's more of a commitment on part of the parent than the child, right? I mean, it's a commitment on the part of the parent. It's a commitment on the part of this church that we're going to do whatever it takes to help raise these children in a godly, Christ-like environment. So as it's an opportunity for us to publicly declare our intentions to raise our children in Christian homes. It's a family dedications where the parents commit themselves to abide by biblical principles and to raise their children according to the Bible, to godly standards. And so you're dedicating yourself as parents to do this. So at this time, what I would like to do, I know we've got several babies, and I can hear them talking already. They're wanting to join in. So we're going to ask the families that are taking part this morning. We did this our first service as well, and we ask you guys to come on up. I see several around here. I think Nolan and Timothy and Jade. Yep. So y'all come on up and come on up to the front, and you can just stand across the front here. And don't worry if they cry or talk. That's part of this. Aren't these? This is awesome. I love. Oh, is he asleep? He's asleep. Okay, I won't wake him up. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'll put you guys on the spot just a little bit. I just want the dads to introduce your family, your name, your wife's name, and your child's name. So you can go first. How old is Nolan?
He is 9 months.
9 months.
This is Angela. I'm Jimmy. This is Timothy, and he's almost 10 months. Mm-hmm. A week from 10 months.
All right.
Daniel, Holly, Jade, she's almost 8 months.
That's awesome. Three precious little babies, three precious children up here. Children are a blessing, aren't they? Just to see the peace, I know they're not peaceful in the middle of the night, but to see the peace that they have right now. And so what I want to ask you each, all of you parents, to do is at the end of each statement here, would you respond just by simply saying, "We do," if you're in agreement with the commitment that you are about to take. I've got five statements that I'd like to share with you this morning. Do you today recognize these children as the gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you all, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will belong wholly to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and instructions of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their lives? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and not use them? And do you promise, God helping you, to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and for the fulfillment of all the promises to them, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? God tells us in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." So as a church, we urge you as parents to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being, to teach your children to do the same. And finally, as a church, I ask that we make a vow as well. So as believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel story to the younger generation. We see that even in the prophet Joel say, the prophet Joel says that to teach it, teach the word of God, tell of God's work to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. So I'm going to ask at this time if the congregation, if you would now please stand. And I now ask that you make the following commitment before God and those who stand before you, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help these parents be faithful to God and to help teach and train their children in the ways of the Lord, so that they might one day trust Him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, would you respond by saying, "We do"? What is our greatest hope for our children, our greatest prayer? It's that they choose to come in the arms of their Savior. So let's commit this morning as parents and as a church to do everything we can to make that a reality. Would you guys join me in prayer? Lord, it is in your profound wisdom that you chose to establish the family as a foundation for your people, through husband and wife and children coming together to worship you and serve you. And as a church, we are all part of your family, so we join together to pray for these precious children. We pray for their spiritual growth and development. We pray for their physical health. Just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, we pray that these children will grow strong in wisdom and in love. Help us to understand what an incredible blessing children are, and help us as a church to come alongside these parents to encourage them and strengthen them, to lift them up in prayer, to carry their burdens. Help us to serve one another in love and pray for the salvation of each of these precious children as they grow. Lord, the future seems so uncertain, but yet we look at these children and we have hope. Guide their way, Lord. Make their path straight and give them strength. We give these little ones to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You've got a certificate here for each of you, Ben's got, for this morning. Awesome. Babies truly are a blessing. We want to switch gears a little bit now. And I want to talk to the mothers. And I wanted to think, man, I wanted to give you guys some challenges, give you some things to think about. And I decided, I found something to give me a little help here. I don't know if y'all remember a few weeks ago, I showed a video by a little dude named Kid President. Okay, y'all remember? Some of y'all do? Okay. He's going to give me a little help this morning. Watch this video.
This one goes out to moms. On behalf of all the kids in the world, here are two things every mom needs to know. Number one, put down your phone, unless your kid is named Phone. Number two, don't name your kid Phone. That's just not right. That's messed up. Number three, we love you. It's just sometimes we don't know how to say it. Sometimes it just comes out screaming or crying. But the next time your kid screams, know what they're really saying is, I love you, Mom. You're beautiful. Thank you for not naming me Phone. Four, stop cleaning. Our house isn't messy. Our house is awesome. It's awesome because we live in it. My mom got stuff to do. Number five, Mom upside down is wow. Doesn't really mean anything, but I just thought it was really cool. Wow. It should be like this. Wow, 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 wow. Number six. While I have you here, I want to take a second and talk about meatloaf. Meatloaf's like a loaf of bread, but it's meat. Mom, we love you, but let's cool it on the meatloaf. Number seven. Thank you for cleaning up all the poop. Number eight. Have fun for once. We love to see you have fun.
Dance in the grocery store. I bought all this stuff.
Or sing in the middle of a driveway.
Oh, it'll feel great. And then it'll scare your kids so much, they'll be quiet.
Number nine. Hug more, shout less.
Look, I get it. Sometimes we do something wrong.
But growing up is scary. There's school, there's tests, there's telling times with clocks that have hands, there's time, your shoes, and kilograms and kilograms.
Kilograms?
I don't know, it's hard, but that's why I go to school. It's just hard to grow up. Sometimes we just need moms to tell us everything's okay. Number 10, the secret to changing the world, moms. Without moms, none of us will be here.
Moms, kids love you. You, and you.
If every mom in the world knew how awesome they were, every problem in the world would be fixed.
From kids everywhere.
thanks for believing in us, putting up with us, and straight up loving us. Mom, you keep us dancing. Send this to a mom, any mom, someone who's been the awesome mom to you. Let them know you wouldn't be here without them. Kid present out.
Pretty cute. You have to agree with them, though, right? Without moms, none of us would be here. Think about that for a minute. Great, great encouragement this morning. Let's go to Scripture. Now, I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's our passage for this morning. And I want to use this passage a little bit to help us understand the calling of motherhood. This is a powerful passage, and I want to read it, and then we'll go back and explain it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to a young pastor named Timothy. He's writing to him to encourage him. He's writing to him to maybe tell him, just to give him some hope here. He's in a tough situation, and let's read what he says here in verse 10. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." My aim this morning in this sermon is to honor motherhood and really to glorify Jesus Christ, who created it and who designed it. What I want to do in this message is to talk about the biblical calling on a woman's life to be committed to her family. Now, I understand that there are many women who may be single, and you may be here this Mother's Day, and I don't want you to feel like less of a woman. But I want you to understand that God has called some women to be mothers. There may be mothers here who, for Mother's Day, is pretty painful because you have been unable to have children, or through miscarriages or whatever you've been through, and that you're here, and Mother's Day brings pain. And I want you to understand that God's grace is sufficient for everything that you go through in life. And there may be some of you here that you think about Mother's Day, and you realize that your mom, maybe you don't have the best memories. And I want you to think back and try to pick out the good things that you remember. There's some of you that your mothers are already with Jesus. And I want you to again, think back and to remember what you've learned and to remember the foundation that you were taught from. But really, my aim this morning is to focus on those of you who God has called to be mothers, who believe that the call on your life is marriage and supporting your husband and transmitting a God-centered vision of life to your children, that creating a safe place, an environment for your children to learn about Christ, to be raised up and to grow in their faith. And for you, I want you to understand that it's a holy calling. It is a high calling. And it's so important that you understand the basis of why you do it. And really, you don't get much encouragement in motherhood. I understand that. It always seems like there's more to do. There's more dishes to do, more things to clean, more, you've got to run your kids here and there, and it just... You know, it is funny. We see this in my house all the time. Jennifer will be doing five different things at one time, and I'll be sitting on the couch reading a book or something. And that doesn't happen real often, but I'm always helping. But when I'm not helping, I mean, I can, like, be doing absolutely nothing. Jennifer can be going crazy, and all three kids, when that happens, all three want to talk to her. Mom, I need you. Mom, I need you. Mom. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, I'm over here. And you know, the one question they asked me, where's Mom? I mean, and so moms, you are underappreciated sometimes. I understand this. And I understand this. You know, I think when we look at Scripture, though, today I want to direct you to this message. I want to give you hope. I want to give you encouragement that what you are doing is making a difference. Look at me again with 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. But as for you, he's again talking to Timothy here, continuing what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read something like this, he says, you know. Well, I think we need to go back and say, okay, do we know who he's talking about? So whom did Timothy learn the word from here? Well, we can look and from other parts of Scripture, we can kind of get a clue. Let me show you a few clues here. In verse 14, he says, knowing from whom you learned it. He's talking here about two women in Timothy's life. He's talking about Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother. There are kind of three clues that lead us to this. First, in verse 15, we see that Paul says, from childhood, from your infancy, from way back, you have this foundation. In 2 Timothy 1:5, we read this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it now lives in you also. So Paul is saying here, I've seen this in your mother and your grandmother. I saw their faith, their sincere faith, and I know it not only lived in them, but I know they passed it on to you. And so we see that. The third clue is over in Acts 16, and we see something else here. And you notice that Paul didn't mention Timothy's father. Why is that? In Acts 16:1, it says this. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So Timothy is the product here. I want you to understand this. He's a product of a home with a believing mother and an unbelieving father. That's why Paul didn't say that, Timothy, you learned the Scripture from your father. No, from whom you have learned it, your mother and your grandmother, godly women that laid a foundation for Timothy to become later a strong pastor. So we see here that this is so important, that mothers, you play a crucial calling. And here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to remember, that when times get tough, you can go back and you can remember the character of your godly mother, and it will give you strength. It gives you strength. And that's why Paul is writing this, to encourage young Timothy. Go back. Think about it. Remember. We see that the character of a godly mother, it's an incentive to holding fast to God's word. It gives you a foundation. It gives you strength. Again, going back to verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. That is, don't give up your faith. Don't give up the Scriptures. Don't turn your back on God. When times get tough, go back and think about how you were raised. Go back and think about those memories. Go back and think about that godly mother that was there when you were going through tough times. Now, my mom was here the first service, and I embarrassed her pretty good. I made her cry, kind of in a good way, right? Moms cry at everything. But, you know, just thinking back, I mean, I know for me, there were times that I was not a saint in my childhood. Let's just put it that way. And she had to put up with a lot. But she was there to mold me and guide me. And moms, you spend so much time with your children. And I'm not downplaying the role that fathers have. We'll get to you on Father's Day. But here's the thing. The mothers have influence because they have time with their children. And I don't want you to underestimate the influence that you can have, not only on your children, but on their children. And not only on their children, but their children. I mean, this, for generations to come, a godly mother will change a family. So I just want to encourage you this morning. When things get hectic, it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to forget the importance of leaving a spiritual legacy. But I want you to know that your kids notice. They remember. They see how you handle yourself under pressure. They see where you get your strength. They see the importance of family and marriage. They see the importance of God's word in your life, and they learn how to be a parent themselves. That's so important, mothers, your role. I just want to encourage you. I want to lift you up this morning. I don't want you to lose hope. I don't want you to become frustrated. And I see so many moms that have bought into this lie that they have to be perfect. It's interesting. If you kind of search on Mother's Day a little bit and on the internet, you find a lot of people who don't like Mother's Day. They call it, I saw one person called it a Hallmark-made holiday. And what they said, it creates this image of motherhood where the moms have to be perfect, where they have to have it all together. I love what that little kid president said. Don't worry about cleaning the house. It's lived in. My mom's got stuff to do. You know, I mean, he was a, if you live, I mean, we get our priorities out of whack sometimes, don't we? We lose focus on what's important. Your role as a motherhood and as a mother, your calling is to create an environment, to create a safe place, to teach your children. Your role is to impart that scriptural knowledge, that biblical basis for their life. It's a high calling. It's so important that you do that. Now, in thinking through this week, Jennifer and I have talked a lot, and we were talking about some of the pressures moms face. And I'll just tell you, my wife is an incredible godly mother. She does an incredible job with our children. She's encouraging. She lifts them up. But sometimes it's overwhelming. And we were talking about that. And instead of me trying to talk to the moms, I thought it would be good for her to share a little bit of some things that she learned with you. So she's going to come up and she's got some wisdom here to share with the moms.
As I was reading through a blog post yesterday, and Mike, I told him, I said, this is really good, something that should, you know, maybe be shared with the moms tomorrow. And he said, yeah, but it would sound a lot better coming from a mom instead of for me. So here I am. So he said, well, I guess you can read it. It's from Ann Voskamp. And it was on her blog, and she is a lady that a group of about 15 of us ladies did a study with. And she's got this video that we watch, and she's always baking bread, and she's got six kids, and they're all little perfect pictures of them, you know, doing their thing. And she's hanging her laundry outside, and it just looks like this perfect, you know, little mom life. And we're all going, good grief, you know, how does she do all that? But when you read this blog post and you think about when you're making a video of your life, it's very different than what your real life is about. So I just want to read this to you. It's just an excerpt from something that I found on her blog. And I think a couple people have already posted a link to it on Facebook if you want to read the whole thing. But it says, because I ain't no Hallmark mother, and none of us are, if we're really telling truth here. If we're honest, and what else is there really? There were burnt dinners and yelling mornings and neck-strained words over lost shoes and scattered Legos and unfinished homework, and there were crumpled tears behind the bathroom doors. Not to mention frozen pizzas and no clean underwear and the wild words no one would want the cameras rolling for. And the realization that a mother's labor and delivery never ends and you never stop having to remember to breathe. And there really were days that felt pretty bad and looked pretty ugly. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe the days were pretty and ugly, pretty ugly. The ugly beauty of reality and love and humanity and what it means to become real. That was what was happening. The stacks of dishes and Everests of laundry and tantrums of toddlers and teenagers and tired mamas and all the scuffed up walls down the hall and through the heart. They were all wearing down the plastic of pride, wearing us down to the real wood of grace and to the cross. It really is okay. That's just the pretty ugly of us. We're not the Hallmark mother. The angular, hard edges of perfection are being sanded down by the scrapes and falls till we're round and soft and can get close enough to each other to just hold each other, find each other, hold on to each other, offer the hug of the broken who know the relief that homemaking is about making a home, not perfection. that motherhood is a hallowed space because children aren't commonplace, that anyone who fosters dreams and labors prayers is a mother to the child in all of us. We'll be the holding on broken who know that it's not that we won't blow it, but it's what we do with it afterwards. Whose priorities aren't things that get us noticed, but the priorities are all things unseen. Who keep praying to only speak words that make souls stronger and keep getting up when we fall down, because this is always how things just fall together. Just let them sell their truckloads of perfect Mother's Day cards. There's far more mothers who are broken in to the real world and worn into beauty, who have busted the balloons of better homes and gardens and lived the gospel of grace. We're done with perfection because we are everyday prodigals who are wasteful in love, extravagant in grace, and recklessly spending our attention on the mercies of the prodigal God. God wants prodigal parents, not perfect parents. Lavish in love, extravagant in truth, and big spenders on grace. And as I read that and thought about the unseen part that she was talking about, I just came across this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Says, as we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I think I really liked what the little kid president said. If moms knew how awesome they were, we could change the world. So just remember that, moms. You're awesome. And all the things that go unseen and the things that maybe you feel like nobody notices, they're eternal. And all that other stuff is just transient and passing away. So happy Mother's Day. As you leave, there's a little blue box over there, and there's also some printouts. One of them is 10 things that you can pray for as a mom, and the other is 10 things as a mom that you can do to help slow down every day. So just pick up each of those papers, and then there's a little bag of candy in there, too, for you. So just grab those as you go. That's just a little gift from Cornerstone to all the moms.
Thank you. It's a good word for us, isn't it, to slow down, to refocus on our priorities. And so many times it is easy in life to get distracted from your calling, to create that spiritual legacy, not just for your children, but for their children and for generations to come. And mothers, you are making a difference. Jennifer and I get a chance to work a lot with the teenagers and youth, and we see the impact that godly parents have on their children. And the reality is, and we've seen it for years and years, when you get on up, and if the kids have a great influence from godly parents, they will stay in the faith. They will stick with it. That you will see them committed, serving God, loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Time after time, we've seen that. And I just want to encourage you to focus on what are you doing. Think about what can you do to leave that spiritual legacy for your kids. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. We're going to keep the message short this morning. But just because it's short doesn't mean it's not powerful. Just because, we came it's great seeing these children up here doing a baby dedication. I wanted to take time to honor mothers. Next week, we're going to be jumping back in the series on the Sermon on the Mount. But I wanted to be a time to honor mothers for what you do and to thank you for those things that oftentimes go unnoticed and unseen, as Jennifer said. Would you pray with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the mothers that are in this room, for the impact that they have had on each of our lives. I know that many people, as we stand here today, we think back to the godly influence of our parents, and we think about how they have made a difference in our life. Lord, help us be parents that teach and train our children in godliness, that teach them how important it is to turn to Jesus in everything in life, to make Jesus the center of our life. How important it is for us to be students of God's Word, reading and learning and letting it mold and shape us and letting them see Christ being formed in us. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the many blessings here at this church and the many children. And Lord, I even thank you for the noise and the mess and the craziness and the chaos. It's in the midst of that that we see your love for us. when we love a child and in ways that we couldn't even explain, we start to understand how you can love us as children of God. Lord, help us come to you in faith, in a childlike faith, and put our trust, put our faith in you. Help us turn our lives around and follow you completely. Lord, this morning, I want it to be an encouragement to not just to mothers, really to everyone here, that when we get serious about putting you first in our life, when we get serious about that, that people take notice. Our children notice. This world notices. And the name of Jesus is lifted high. For that we are thankful. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning as we close out, a couple of things. You've got response cards in the seat back in front of you. If there's any type of commitment, any type of question, any type of a prayer request, if you could fill that out, let us know. I'll be over to the side as always if you'd like to pray, if you've got any questions. But let's just stand up. Let's close out this morning with just a powerful time of worship, lifting up the name of Jesus and honoring him. Would you guys sing with us?
I feel loved. I feel safe. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a warmth within me. Can't describe it, but I believe I feel peace, I feel life, I see my stains turn pure white, I feel a burden lift from me as I raise my head.
safe. I feel Jesus in this place. Feel a warmth within me. I can't describe it, but I believe.
Sing glory.
Glory, glory, glory to the King.
Sing it one more time.
Praise your name for being in this place, and we love you, and we just pray that you'll bless all the moms in this room. May they have a great day as we celebrate moms, and we pray. Amen. Have a great week.